when we opened up our vision retreat, the Lord led me to pray 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32 over us as kind of an indicator of what God was doing and was about to do in our time together. And it says that we would be like men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel. Now, Israel's the people of God, the children of God. Israel really represents the church, represents Evident Life Church. That we would be like men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what the church, Evident Life Church, should do. 1 Chronicles 12:32. Why did God lead us to a vision retreat? Why do we need vision? Why do we need vision? Proverbs 29:18 reminds us this. Where there is no revelation, other translations say where there is no vision, no revelation, no vision, the people cast off restraint. In other words, people go the wrong direction. When you don't have vision, when there's no revelation, people go the wrong direction. So what is vision? Vision is having God's perspective. Let me just put it that way very clearly. A lot of people think, well, vision is just kind of trying to understand and get an idea of what's happening and where we're going. But there's really only one vision that I want. There's only one vision that we want as the body of Christ and as the church. And that's God's vision. We want God's perspective. We want to see what God sees. We want to see what He sees. That's the vision that we're always looking for, we're longing for, and that we're desperate for. What does God see? What does God dream over us? You know, God has dreams for us. What does He dream over us as His church? Why are we here right now? As people, as followers of Christ, but as a church, as a local body, as a local representation of His church. Why are we here right now? That's vision. That's the kind of vision that we're seeking, that we long for, and that we follow. It's God's perspective. It's what He sees. So with this in mind, our first order of business was to receive the clear and concise vision statement for Evident Life Church. In other words, who has God created Evident Life Church to be? Where is our unique place in the body of Christ right here and right now? And we're going to put this up in just a moment, but the vision statement in just a moment. It may appear when it comes up on the screen, and I say it, it may appear simple. But I want to tell you right now, this simple vision statement is far from simple. It's very profound, it's deep, and it's extremely important because it truly is coming from the heart of God as to who we are, who He sees us, Evident Life Church, as, who He's created us to be, and who we have been and will continue to be as this church body, Evident Life Church. And so here's the vision statement the Lord gave us, that we are a people of prayer, pursuing God, and loving others. A people of prayer, pursuing God, and loving others. That's the vision statement. That's who God sees Evident Life Church as. That's who we are at Evident Life Church. God doesn't want us to have an identity crisis. He doesn't want you to have one, so He wants to make sure you continue to know that you're His child, that you're forgiven, you're born again. And He doesn't want His church to have an identity crisis. He wants us to know who we are, because when we know who we are and we're confident in who God sees us as and who we are in Christ Jesus, we're going to live differently than if we're confused about who we are and why we're here. When we know who we are and we know why we're here as individuals, but also as a church, we're going to now operate with some confidence, not in ourselves, but in the fact that we know who we are. We know who we are. So the Lord clearly has said about Evident Life Church that you're a people of prayer, pursuing God, and loving others. Again, it seems simple. In a lot of ways, it is. It seems simple, but it's profound, and it's extremely important, and we're going to find that it's very deep also. Within the vision statement, we have three unique identifiers. So let's look at those. The first one is this, is that we are a people of prayer. We are a people of prayer. The second identifier is that we are a people who are pursuing God. And number three, that we are a people whose lives are spent loving others. Three unique identifiers, the vision that God has for Evident Life Church. Today we're going to unpack the first unique and very special strategic component of God's vision for Evident Life Church. And that is that we are a people of prayer. Y'all are going to have to put up, I think, with the slides coming in and out. It looks like we're having a little bit of technical difficulty. So you're just going to have vision. You're just going to have to hear it and see it in your own mind's eye. You know what I'm saying? Can you do that? I think God's gifted you to do that. He's gifted you to do that. It's going to work out just fine. We're going to look at the first unique identifier in the vision statement, that we are a people of prayer. That's the title of today's message. That's going to be the focus of today's message and what God wants to say to us as the church. We are a people of prayer. During the first 5 years of existence, the Moravian settlement of Herrnhut showed few signs of spiritual power. By the beginning of 1727, that's a few years ago, the community of about 300 people was racked by dissension and bickering. It really was an unlikely sight for any kind of spiritual revival. However, their leaders called for their community to pray together. And on May 12th, what happened? Revival came. They prayed together. They began praying together, and revival came. Christians were aglow with new life and power. Dissension vanished, and unbelievers were converted. Looking back to that day and the four glorious months that followed, immediately followed, one of their leaders, a guy by the name of Zinzendorf, he later recalled, quote, that the whole place represented truly a visible habitation of God among men. Come on, doesn't that sound exciting? A visual habitation of God among men. I want some of that. You know what I'm saying? I want some of that. See, a spirit of prayer was immediately evident in the Moravian church. And this prayer meeting that started on that day lasted 100 years. That's no joke. It was a 100-year prayer meeting, 24-7, 100 years, 300 people. It was launched with just 300 people. There was truly a people of prayer that were having an incredible impact on the world and on history. And I'm going to share more about that impact later this morning in this message. Before I continue, I want to say a few things. I want to say that I'm blessed to hear that the most common thing people say about Evident Life Church, like when people kind of come and hang out with us just for a little while here at Evident Life Church, they get to know us just a little bit. Maybe they pop in for a week or two because they're visiting family who's in town, and or they start coming here, and before you know it, the most common thing that people say about this church is, man, you guys like pray. You really pray. You're kind of these praying kind of people. We hang out here for just a little bit, and you're praying, and you're praying, and you're praying. And I want to say it's not an accident that that's one of the first and primary things that people see and say about Evident Life Church. It's not an accident, because that is what we are called to. Because God has called us, He's envisioned us to be a people of prayer. In fact, Evident Life Church was launched out of a prayer meeting, not out of a planning meeting, not out of just a gathering to dream about a church or what God might want to do. No, Evident Life Church was launched out of a prayer meeting, a Wednesday night prayer meeting that was happening in my living room with three families, getting together, seeking the Lord, praying, and pressing in to what God wanted to do. And that prayer meeting that launched even before the church launched is still going on today, nearly 9 years later, on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We're a people of prayer. God has established us to be a people of prayer. We continue to be a people of prayer, and that is His vision for this church, so we will continue to be a people of prayer. So this church, Evident Life, is number one called to pray. That's going to be the first point of the message this morning. I know that was a long introduction. Hang with me. We'll get you out of here on time. You'll get your lunch and all that kind of stuff. The first point about being a people of prayer is that we're called to pray. Pretty simple, right? A people of prayer is called to pray. I love what it says in Isaiah 56, verse 7. God says this through the prophet Isaiah. He says, "For my house," he's talking about his church, right? His people. "My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Now, the tendency, unfortunately, in the church often is just to go, "Oh, yeah, we're a church, so we're a house of prayer." That's just kind of a synonym for the church, a house of prayer. And, you know, because we're a church, we're a house of prayer. And a house of prayer is just kind of another buzzword for church. And a house of prayer has lost its true meaning in many ways. You see, being a house of prayer isn't just a title. It's supposed to be who we are. It's supposed to be how we think, how we live, what we do, how we spend our time. We're called to pray. Not just call ourselves a house of prayer, not just call ourselves people of prayer, but actually pray. Be those people who come together and pray. Not by title alone, but in action, in lifestyle, and for real. The early church understood this. The early church back in Jerusalem, they understood what it meant to be a house of prayer. They understood what it meant to be a people of prayer. They understood that they were called to pray. See, when Jesus told them to go wait for the gift, for the promise, which was the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit coming all over and in and through the church, when the early church was told to go wait, how did they wait? Now, they knew they were called to pray. They knew they were a house of prayer. How did they go wait? Did they go wait by just saying, "Yeah, something big's going to happen, but we got a lot of stuff to get busy with right now. We got life to do. You know, I got work to do. I've got kids to take care of. I got places to be and people to see." You know what I'm saying? I don't think that's, in fact, I know that's not how the early church reacted to their call to pray and to wait for what God wanted to do. No, they waited by praying together, intentionally going to the house of prayer, the place of prayer. We know this because when we look in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, Scripture tells us that they all, meaning all the believers at that time, all of them, they all, you're going to have to open up your Bibles here and get this stuff, right? Come on. You need to know that this is really in the Bible. Acts 1, verse 14. What did the early church do? How did they live life? They all joined together. All got together. All came together. All joined together constantly in what? Prayer. They all joined together constantly in prayer. And it was through the place of prayer that God poured Himself into the church. It was through these prayer gatherings. It was through the church doing what God had called them to do and created them to do. And that is come together and pray to really be a people of prayer, a house of prayer. It was through the church doing what God had called them to do that He poured out His Spirit and He baptized the church. The windows and doors blew off of that room and the Holy Spirit came down and rested on the church as tongues of fire, and the power of God came over the church just as Jesus said it would, because because the church engaged in what they were called to do, and that's coming together, all together, and constantly praying together. And out of that prayer meeting, the church was launched in power to be the salt and light, to be the witnesses of Jesus, and to be a powerful, supernatural, mighty hand that God would use to push back darkness. They became the tool in the hand of the Lord that would tear the gates of hell off of their hinges and bring the kingdom of God and find people to the ends of the earth getting saved and coming into the family of God. And it all came out of the church doing what they were called to do, coming together and praying. I warned you earlier, it's going to be a little intense. I'm kind of into this. You know what I'm saying? I'm just kind of, whoo! So like the early church, we experienced the mighty move of God. And I'm using the terms we experience. I first wrote, we will experience the mighty move of God. And I thought, what am I doing here? We do experience. We are experiencing as a church, as a New Testament church, even right now. We, like the early church, we are experiencing the mighty move of God. We are filled in great measure by the presence of the Holy Spirit. His presence, His power. We're becoming those people who are bringing God's kingdom to this earth, to our community, for real. It's actually happening right here and right now in and through this church as we are coming together and praying together. We're a people of prayer called to pray. We are a people of prayer and we're called to pray. It's been that way from the beginning of the church in Jerusalem, Acts 1, Acts 2, and it's the same now. And so this church, Evident Life Church, because we're the church, right? We're called to pray. The second thing is that we're called to a lifestyle of prayer. We're called to pray, but not just to pray here and there. We're called to a lifestyle of prayer. It's just how we live. It's how we move. It's how we have our being, to use a few terms from the Bible, right? That's just who we are. A lifestyle of prayer. Check out what happens then in the early church that was getting together in Acts 1, verse 14, all joining together constantly in prayer. Amazing things happened. Out of that comes the day of Pentecost and the mighty move of God. But here's how they continued to live. It wasn't just kind of a one-time thing and every once in a while thing. Okay, God came, the Holy Spirit came, and now we just kind of move on to other things. We got to get busy with life, and we got to do a bunch of stuff for God now. Here's how they lived, Acts 2, 42. The church devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. It's right here. It's the Word of God. They devoted themselves to fellowship. Getting together is a good thing, church. Fellowshipping together, it's a good thing. And they also devoted themselves to breaking of bread. That's talking about communion. And they devoted themselves to prayer. They devoted themselves to these things. Devotion, I looked it up. It's the act of dedicating something to a cause, enterprise, or activity. Devotion is the fact or state of being ardently dedicated and loyal. Devotion's no joke. It's like going all in. It's like, I'm not playing around. I'm really doing this for real. It's not an afterthought. It's not something I do when I just kind of get the time or if I have any extra time in my schedule. No, it's like getting on my schedule first and foremost. I'm devoted to these things. And I just believe it's foolishness and arrogance to think that we, the church today, can glorify God and be the hope of the world without a devotion to prayer. It's arrogance. It's foolishness. We want to see the kingdom of God come. We want to see our communities changed. And you know what? We got about 12 people in the church. I'm not talking about this church, by the way. I'm talking about just, you know, anyway. They kind of pray together and do some things every time, but we have other things to do, and they do the prayer stuff, and then we set up for this, and you know, I come to church every once in a while, and it's, yeah, it's all good, and God's going to move in power. And I'm like, that's arrogance. It really is. It's not God's economy. It's not his method. It's not how he rolls. You know what I'm saying? At Evident Life Church, the Lord said that the roots of an Evident Life, this is a word the Lord gave us back in the day, back in the early days of the church. He said the roots of an Evident Life go deep. They go deep. D-E-E-P. And deep is an acrostic. D-E-E-P. It stands for D, discipleship. E, evangelism. The second E stands for encountering the presence of God. And then there's the P, prayer. So it kind of goes D-E-E-P, prayer, at the bottom. The last one, which means it's probably the least significant, right? It's just something we get around to once we've done the first three. Then we finally, if we got any time, any energy, you know, any oomph left over, we'll get to the P, the prayer part, right? No, no. You see, it's exactly flip-flop from that. It's the P that's at the bottom that is actually what we call the taproot of the roots of Evident Life. It's the taproot. It's the deepest, most important, most central root where all the nutrients of the kingdom of God and the Spirit of God come from and out of. It's that place of prayer. It's our taproot. And without it, we're dry. And without it, we're going to wither. And without it, we're going to end up falling down. Prayer, the taproot of this church. And I believe as I read God's word, it's really the taproot of the church. It's the taproot. It's where the Spirit of God flows through, the place of prayer. Personal prayer is important. The call for the church to pray together should never minimize the significance, the importance of our time alone with God. Because this is just the beauty of God, that we were created to know him personally, like individually. He knows the hairs on your head, and some of you, that's not hard. I see that's, you know, there's just a few, maybe none. But anyway, hope y'all can handle that. I got issues, but I don't have that issue, praise God. Not that that's a problem. I mean, there's some beautiful bald men out there. And my wife is telling me to move on, so I'm going to move on. We're blessed to be able to have this personal, intimate relationship with God where we can interact with the living God and he'll interact with us. If we seek him, we'll find him. So our time of personal prayer is so important. It's so special. It's so beautiful. But I want to say that personal prayer, with us just being off in our prayer closets praying alone, won't result in the working of God to the degree needed for spiritual transformation in our lives, in our families, in our church, in our community, in our world, the kind that God really wants to do and is capable and able to do. A bunch of people only participating in personal prayer time and not coming together is not going to see the fullness of God's kingdom and what he really wants to roll out and display to the world. I challenge us often to read the New Testament and look at where the mighty moves of God are coming from. Where does God blow the doors off of things? Where does God just like transform and change things? It's when the people of God are together praying. Not to minimize our personal time, that's precious. But we're called to something deeper and bigger and more impactful. God has sovereignly empowered corporate prayer and the church. And he uses this corporate prayer in his church as a platform to exponentially increase the kingdom work that he has on this earth and to accelerate his purposes right here, right now. He uses the place of corporate prayer. He uses a church that prays together to bring his kingdom big time. I love the precept that we read about in Deuteronomy 32, verse 30, where it talks about how one can chase away 1,000. And you ought to be pretty in awe about that. You're one, right? You can chase away 1,000. You got 1,000 demons coming at you. Well, you got the name of Jesus Christ that you can throw at them, and those 1,000 demons are gone. They're going to flee. You can chase away 1,000. One of us in Christ Jesus can chase away 1,000. But then the principle that we see in Deuteronomy 32:30 is that two, now that's just adding one more, right? Now, two of us, though, we can send 10,000 fleeing. That's exponential impact as the people of God come together. 10,000 out of here. When we come to, when I come together with a brother in the Lord, and we press into the things of God, and we push back darkness, and we call forth his kingdom to manifest, I'm telling you what, exponential impact. Now, what happens when an entire church comes together constantly, regularly, praying, pressing in together? I mean, we're not talking tens of thousands. We're talking hundreds of thousands. We're talking the exponential impact, the acceleration of his kingdom coming, you know, taking off. Taking off. It's right here for us. And we're called to be those people of prayer. God has big plans for his church. We're his representatives, man. We're his hands and feet right here. He said we're going to do the things he did, but even greater things. And it's not going to be from us just being busy with the rest of life and 5-minute prayer when we wake up and when we go to bed at night. And it's going to be when we come together as the people of God. And we press into this thing that God has given us called prayer. Prayer. You know that passage of Scripture? I added a little note here yesterday when I was reading through my notes. And I was thinking about that passage of Scripture where, you know, the disciples are confused. Man, why won't this demon leave? What's going on, man? Why can't we cast out this demon? You said we can, and we've seen it happen. Why can't we do that? And then Jesus says, well, there's some that only come out through prayer. And I believe what Jesus is saying is there are some things that are only going to move when you all actually get together, united, and press in prayer. You know, you just shouting at something all alone, you're going to make it happen? No, you got to understand the economy of the kingdom, the way the kingdom of God works. You got to get united, you got to come together, and you got to press into that place of prayer, and then you're going to see those kind of things break. Then you're going to see that thing move, that mountain move, that opening happen, that healing occur. Some things that only happen when we get together and pray. So a lifestyle of prayer, it's that praying without ceasing kind of lifestyle we see in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, where we're strategically and intentionally, those are two words the Lord's given me for the year, by the way, as we're moving forward with vision and strategy, strategic and intentional. That lifestyle of prayer is where we're strategically and intentionally engaging in prayer, where it becomes what we do, not an afterthought, but what we do, and we make sure we're doing it before we're doing other things. It's part of our daily, part of our weekly lives. It's what we do. It's who we are. Ephesians 6:18 says that we are to pray in the Spirit on all occasions and with all kinds of prayers and requests. That we're to pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. In all kinds of requests. It's not just every once in a while. If the wheels are really falling off and we couldn't fix it ourselves, you know, then we're going to get to pray. And, you know, I'm going to do a quick one. You know, my kids are really having a lot of struggles and everything. And I said a couple prayers. You know, I spent 5 minutes praying for my kids. And, you know, now I'm just going to keep pulling my hair out. You know, I don't know, whatever. No, it becomes what we do. We keep praying on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With one another, too. I want to underscore that. Many believers say they want to experience what the early church experienced. But if we want to experience what the early church experienced, we have to live like the early church lived, and they lived a lifestyle of prayer. That's why I said it earlier. We are experiencing what the early church experienced. We are seeing God move in powerful ways here in and through this church family. I mean, the dead raised to life, that's still blowing my mind. I can't believe that I was there when that happened. I mean, it's blowing my mind. I'm telling my pastor friends as we're getting together in different meetings about that happened. They said, well, I guess you're going to be opening us up in prayer then today. And I'm like, okay. It's unbelievable what God is doing. And if we want to experience those powerful things of God, then we need to live like God has called the church to live and like we see the early church living, and that's living a lifestyle of prayer. And frankly, again, I see a lot of what the early church saw. We see a lot of what the early church experienced here at Evident Life Church. But I'm going to tell you what, most of it, I'm being real with you, to my wonderful family I see here on Sunday mornings, most of the powerful moves of God, those incredible things, the gifts of the Spirit, the tongues, interpretation, words of knowledge, people getting a word of knowledge, somebody receiving it, getting healed, all these things like this are happening typically almost always in the place of prayer. Remember that prayer meeting I said has been going on for nearly 9 years? That is a hotbed for the move of God. It's just where he moves. It's just where God orchestrates those supernatural kingdom kinds of things in and through the place of prayer. And if we want to engage in the things of God, then we engage God's way. And it's not like, okay, I'm going to go get my fix because I'm dealing with something really hard right now, so I'll go join those people in prayer this week because I really need a touch from God. No, I'm telling you, it's the people that are pressing in. As it said, the early church, they constantly got together. It wasn't just because they had a bad day that they went to the place of prayer. They got together, they continued to press in, and as they continued to press in, they began to see things happen and unfold as God desires them and wills them to happen and unfold. God is not a genie. We don't go to a prayer meeting, you know, once a month so that we can rub the little bottle and get the little genie to come out to take care of our issues and all that. We press in to God through the place of corporate prayer, and he moves as he wills, how he wills, when he wills, and we get to just be there and experience it, but we're there. Because we showed up. It's like the people who leave the ball game early because their team is losing and they think it's over, and then they miss the bottom of the ninth inning where they come back, they score 10 runs, home run after home run. It's incredible, and they missed it because they weren't there. They didn't persevere. Okay. I told you this was going to be intense, and you could take the intensity one of two ways. Oh, he's making me feel bad, and I don't know if I'm really up to that. Or you can say, man, incredible things happen in the place of intensity. And I want to run to intensity, not run from intensity. And so as your pastor, I want to encourage you, because I can get intense, get a little excited about things. I want to encourage you, run into intensity. Don't run from it. You'll be blessed running into it. The praying church, Evident Life Church, the third point, final point, is that because we're a praying church, we enjoy God-sized results. There are God-sized results of prayer. 1 John 5, beginning of verse 14, says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will have what we asked of him. That's a pretty incredible statement. Pretty incredible statement. Prayer moves mountains. Prayer changes things. There are God-sized results that happen in and through the place of prayer. Often, Christians, it makes me sad, they'll embrace a lie. That lie that prayer really doesn't do that much. And I've even heard people say that too much prayer is even a waste of time. Y'all need to stop praying so much, you need to start doing more. I'm thinking, man, I mean, I guess you can create a reason for that kind of thought, but I don't find it in the Word of God. I don't see Jesus saying, go do a bunch of stuff, and then if you have time, pray, and big things are going to happen. I hear him calling us to pray, and out of the place of prayer, he launches the church into doing big things, and his kingdom comes in power. I want to say that for me, I've seen it firsthand. The place of prayer, coming together in the place of prayer, is the most productive time of my week, of my month, praying with my church family. It's usually the time that the devil wants to keep me from, where I'm tired and I just want to stay at home and call in sick. But I'm the pastor and I still lead that meeting half the time, and I show up to that meeting every single Wednesday that I'm in town. My flesh doesn't want to go there often, but every time I go, I am revived because I have just experienced the presence of God, and I've gotten to be with brothers and sisters doing the most important thing we could do that entire week, and that's pray together. It brings amazing results. Remember the Moravians I talked about earlier in the message? Back in the 1700s, well, by 1791, this is 65 years after they began that prayer meeting. 65 years of continuing in prayer. This small community, remember it just started with 300 people? Well, this small community, 65 years of prayer, they had sent 300 missionaries around the world. You want to see what prayer does? You want to see how effective it is? You want to see how powerful prayer is? You want to see the impact that can come out of a prayer meeting? 65 years later, 300 missionaries had gone around the world. You even had missionaries like William Carey. He didn't come from the Moravians, but he heard about what the Moravians were doing, and it gave him the boldness and the confidence for himself to go and be a missionary. The amazing impact that these people of prayer, going into the place of prayer, the impact that they had on the world and on history is incredible. That's what happens when the people of God do things God's way and we come together and we be a people of prayer. God-sized results. Eternal results. Big time, baby. Big time. Big time. Prayer changes the world. It releases the kingdom of God. It brings transformation. Let's not forget the result of that prayer meeting in the upper room. What happened as a result of them constantly coming together in prayer, not giving up after 10 days, after 15 days, after 20 days? The result was they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. They walked out of that place exhibiting the gifts of the Spirit in a way that caused 3,000 people to come to Christ in one day. The church grew by 3,000 people in one day. One day. That's the kind of God-sized result. That's the kind of power that is released through a church that comes together and prays together. I want more of that. We're seeing some of it. I want more of it. The world needs more of that. It comes doing things God's way. Being a people of prayer. We're a people of prayer because we understand that it's from the place of prayer that we hear the voice of God. You want to hear God's voice more? Come around your brothers and sisters in the place of prayer. It's pretty incredible what happens. We know and understand that it's from the place of prayer that we receive revelation. And when I talk about revelation, I'm not, ooh, doo, 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 doo. I'm not talking about we're, I'm talking about what we need to know on how to live life, to make real decisions in this real life that God has us in, to understand how to live, what to do, what not to do, how to press into Him more, how to experience more joy, how to relate with our children. We get those kinds of revelation. Most important one is more of Jesus revealed to us, which totally continues to change us and get us excited, right? It's the place of prayer that we get revelation. It's from the place of prayer where we push back darkness, demolish the plans of the enemy that come against our lives, our families, and our church. It's from the place of prayer together, two can send 10,000, right? It's from the place of prayer that we tear down the gates of hell that are keeping us from what God has for us and are keeping the lost from knowing Jesus in our community. It's from the place of prayer. I know it's from the place of prayer where we prayed, Dave Caldwell and I have prayed, and we prayed for these different psychics and stuff to go out of business up and down this road, for darkness to be pushed back, to be crushed, to be extinguished, and we see it happen from the place of prayer. Big things happen from the place of prayer. It's from the place of prayer that we encounter the presence of God. That's big time. It's from the place of prayer where we grow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you desire to grow in the gifts of the Spirit, if you're like, man, I really would love to understand more what this whole thing is with like tongues and prayer language. I really would. How does some of those people get up on Sunday and they have these words of knowledge and, you know, and this prophetic gift that I'm supposed to desire, that Paul tells me desire, you know, in 1 Corinthians. I want that. I want to, but I don't even know where to start, where to get it. Come to the place of prayer where others are doing this and it's actively being engaged in, and learn and soak it up and start seeing kind of how God operates in that arena. It's from the place of prayer where real discipleship can happen. Bible studies are good and important. Life groups are good and important. But did you know that a prayer meeting is a very strong discipleship opportunity? It's in the place of prayer that our strength is renewed, our minds are refreshed, and our spirit is lifted. It's refueled. You know, the Lord says this in Isaiah 56:7. He says that He will give us joy in the house of prayer. He will give us joy. How many of you need a little more joy, want a little more joy? I say I want some of that. It's when we come together and we pray together. God-sized results. I have a couple of the stories I wanted to share about prayer and the God-sized results, but we're going to have to leave that for another day, another time. I want to read Ephesians 4, verse 11. Paul writes this to the church. He says it was He, meaning the Lord, who gave some. If our slides were working, you'd see that word some highlighted, bolded. It's He. Ta-da! It is He, the Lord, who has given us slides again. And He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. But He gave to all of us the call to pray. Not some, but to all the call to pray. We're a people of prayer, church. I want to let you know that you have opportunity to engage in this kind of lifestyle. To pray, to plug in and see that exponential impact, to hear His voice, to grow in the things of the Spirit, even in the place of prayer. You have that opportunity. We're praying on Wednesday nights, starting at 7 o'clock in the prayer room. We have prayer meeting on Monday night. We have prayer meeting Tuesday night. We're going to be changing some things up, and the more news to come, I guess I should say, on that. Beginning about the third week of January, I'm going to share more about that in just a couple weeks, some details on that, of other opportunities on Wednesday nights to engage in prayer, but also in fellowship and in the apostles' teachings and discipleship and stuff, some incredible opportunities that the Lord is leading us into. So I want to even give you a heads up to go ahead and mark Wednesday nights, clear it out on your calendar, change things up on your calendar. Make decisions based on engaging in the things of God, and there's going to be all kinds of opportunities for that big time on Wednesday nights coming up, beginning the third Wednesday of January. And like I said, more to come on that. But in the meantime, let's continue to come together and pray. This Wednesday night, we're going to have a special prayer meeting, a Thanksgiving prayer meeting. be a great time to come and be able to engage in giving thanks and declaring thanks to the one who has rescued us and saved us. Going to have some wonderful worship time together in that prayer meeting. Encourage you to come. If we get too many people, maybe we're going to go have it in the fellowship hall or something like that. That would be a great problem to have. We can fit about 50 people in the prayer room. We've packed it out with 55 before, and thankful that the fire marshal didn't come by. Next week, we're going to continue to explore God's vision for Evident Life Church. Today, we looked at that first unique component, that we're a people of prayer. We're going to look at that we are those who are pursuing God, and we are those who are loving others. Are you all excited about what God is revealing to us, what He's saying about us, what He's reminding us at Evident Life Church of who we are, what His vision is for us? I'm telling you, hey, amen. I'm telling you, as we walk into and embrace who God sees us as and who He's called us to be, we will see Him move in pretty spectacular ways, heavenly, eternal ways. Lord, we thank You for this time together. I want to invite You to stand up as we close. God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your direction. We thank You for revelation. We're desperate for it. And in revelation from You, we find life in that to the full. Lord, I even say right now, and if you want to be in agreement with me and lift your hands, I just say that, Lord, we are those people who say yes to You. We are a yes people, a yes church that will follow You wherever You go, that will live as those who You've called us to live as. We are Your people. You are our God. We will follow Your vision. We will embrace Your vision because in it we know there is life. There is You.